We'd like to, once again, turn to Book of Mark, chapter 1. Book of Mark, chapter 1. We'll read verses 21 through verse 34. They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he, Jesus, entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was one in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. When the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and Anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils. Suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. We see that three miracles that are recorded here all took place on a Sabbath day in Capernaum. We've already looked at the fact that Jesus went into the synagogue, and while he was in that synagogue was a particular demon-possessed man, and we've seen that Jesus delivered that man from his demon. And from there, we read that they went to the house of Peter and Andrew and with James and John. And this begins the second miracle that is recorded here, and that is the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And we want to consider that particular miracle this morning. We see that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the arrival of Jesus at Peter's house. Mark and Luke record that it was immediately after leaving the synagogue that he went to Peter's house. And when he got to Peter's house, we see Peter's mother-in-law is sick. So we have a picture of need. Matthew and Mark record that she was sick of a fever. Notice in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And Matthew and Mark both record that fact that she was sick of a fever. But Luke, who of course was a physician, he gives us a little more detail concerning her condition. Notice in Luke chapter 4, verse 38. Again, from Matthew and Mark, we simply learn that she was sick with a fever. And in Luke chapter 4 and verse 38, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. she was taken with a great fever. Again, Matthew and Mark, she was sick with a fever. Luke says that she was taken, that is, she was overcome, and she was under the control of this fever. And it says that she was overcome with a great fever. So Luke presents to us the seriousness of the matter. This was not an ordinary fever. It was a great fever. It was something that was extraordinary. In other words, the fever was very, very high, and the fever was in control of her body. So this is the picture of need. And then we see, of course, that the need is presented to Jesus Christ. We see and notice in the book of Mark, chapter 1, the book of Mark, chapter 1, in Mark's account, we see that an Annan, immediately they tell him of her. So as soon as Jesus arrives in the house, we see that Mark records immediately. They didn't waste any time. Immediately, they tell Jesus of Peter's mother-in-law. They did this, of course, out of concern for her. They did this out of a burden for her. And they also did it because they had the assurance that he could help her. And they had the hope that he would help her. So they told him of her condition. I imagine they told how it started, how long it's been going on, how she was doing. They told him everything that they could possibly tell him. And Luke records that in Luke chapter 4 and verse 38, he tells us how it is that they told him. In Luke 4 and verse 38, the last part of that verse says, and they besought him for her. They besought him. They begged and they pleaded with Christ for her. That is, on her behalf. This shows the urgency that they felt. It shows that they did not feel that she could continue to live in this condition. So they immediately began to plead with Jesus Christ. Again, knowing that he could help, believing that he would help as well. So they besought him for her. They did not plead for themselves. They simply pleaded on her behalf. And again, it shows the urgency of the situation. Also shows the helplessness of the situation, that they felt absolutely helpless. There was nothing that they could do. The only thing they could do was to tell Jesus. The only thing that they could do was to present the need to Christ and to beg and to plead with Christ. And then we see that Jesus, of course, he actually heals Peter's mother-in-law. Following them telling Jesus of the need, Mark records, notice in Mark 1, verse 31. So they've told him of her, and he came. Now he's already in the house, so this is not referring to the fact that he came to the house. But he came wherever it was that she was, whatever room she was, or whatever part of the house that she was in, he came. And we see in Matthew chapter 8, so we have Jesus coming to where she is, and verse 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother. So Jesus came into the house. They, by putting all the accounts together, the apostles tell him of Peter's mother-in-law, and then Jesus came or went into the room where she was, and he saw. And notice in Matthew 8, verse 14, he saw that she was sick of a fever. in Mark 1, verse 31, we see he saw that she was sick of a fever. So Jesus sees her condition. And then notice in Luke chapter 4, verse 39. Luke chapter 4, verse 39. So he's come into the house. He's been told of her condition. He's gone to wherever it is in the house that she is. And then Luke says in Luke 4 and verse 39, and he stood over her. He stood over her. So he stood there in her presence. And then Luke records that he rebuked the fever. He rebuked the fever. He did not tell any of them to do anything. He did not tell Peter's mother-in-law to do anything. He simply rebuked the fever. And then Matthew and Mark both record that he touched her. So he comes to where she is. He stands over her. He rebukes the fever. And then notice in Matthew 8, verse 15, and he touched her hand. He rebuked the fever, and he touched her hand. And then by putting together Mark's account, notice Mark chapter 1, verse 31. Mark 1, verse 31, he came, took her by the hand. Matthew just told us that, but Mark adds something else, and lifted her up. Matthew records that he took her by the hand, the fever left her. What Matthew did not record was that when he took her by the hand, he lifted her up. Now again, keep in mind that he's already rebuked the fever. And then we read, and immediately the fever left her. So, and all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record the fact that the fever left her. So what this represents, it represents the power of his presence. He came, he stood over her. It represents the power of his voice. He rebuked the fever, or the power of his word. He touched her hand, lifting her up, and immediately the fever left her. We have also the power of his touch. So we are reminded of the power of his presence, the power of his word, and the power of his touch. So now Peter's mother-in-law, this fever has disappeared. She is well. She is whole. She has been made different. A miracle has taken place in her life. And the next thing that would follow would be there would be an evidence of healing. There would be an evidence of healing. And you notice throughout the healing miracles of Christ, there is always manifest evidence that the healing took place. In other words, when the Lord works a miracle, there will be manifest evidence that a work has taken place, that a change has taken place. When Jesus healed a blind man, that blind man did not continually to walk as if he were in darkness. When he healed a lame man, the lame no longer just laid there or sat there, they walked. When he healed the deaf, and on we could go. There was always manifest evidence that a work had taken place. And notice in Matthew chapter 8, verse 15. Matthew 8, verse 15. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and she arose. She didn't continue to lay there. Had she done that, there would be no manifest evidence that a true miracle had taken place. But as soon as the fever left her, she arose and she arose and ministered unto them. She arose and ministered unto them. She arose and served them. So we see healing and then service. Healing and then service. The miracles of healing, all the miracles of Christ's healing, are types of salvation. They are all beautiful pictures of salvation. They are pictures of what transpires when God saves a soul. And we see here we have healing, and without any delay, service. So she was healed by the miraculous power of Christ. She immediately has a desire. We do not know how long she had laid there, but immediately she had a desire to serve. Not only a desire, but she also literally served. Her service was immediate. The fever left her, she arose, and she served, and she ministered. It was immediate. And when God saves a soul, there is an immediate change. There is an immediate manifestation that a miracle has taken place. Not only was her service immediate, it was also appropriate. She ministered unto them whatever it was that they needed at that time. She ministered unto them. And again, her getting up out of the bed, her service was a manifestation that she had been the recipient of the miraculous power of Christ. And yet today we have many who want us to believe that they have been the miraculous recipients of Christ, and yet there is no difference in their lives whatsoever. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. Because all through the scriptures, there is a manifest difference. And there is a manifestation that a miracle has taken place. So this miracle takes place, which brings us to the third miracle, which really was many miracles. And this is recorded in Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17, also in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 32 through 34, and Luke chapter 4, verses 40 and 41. We see, remember, the day starts at the synagogue. Jesus stood and he taught the people, and the people were astonished. They were amazed at what they heard. And then we see that Jesus healed a demonic in that synagogue. This even further amazed the people. The service in the synagogue was dismissed. Jesus and the apostles go to the house of Simon. In the meanwhile, all of those who were in the synagogue that day, they're talking amongst themselves. They're going all through the town telling everybody they could what they had just witnessed. They told of how Christ taught in the synagogue, and they taught how that, and they spoke of how Jesus healed a demonic. And perhaps that demonic had been coming to that synagogue for years. We don't know. But they saw and they heard. They witnessed Jesus healing this demonic. So they're telling everybody they can. And the result of this is that a crowd arrives at the door of Peter's house. And this is now in the evening. Matthew 8 and verse 16 says, when the even was come. Mark adds, and at even when the sun did set. And Luke says, when the sun was setting. So, by all three accounts, we know that it is now evening of the same day. Evening of the same day that Jesus went into the synagogue. And at this time, as a result of the people spreading the word of what happened that day in the synagogue, Mark says in Mark chapter 1, verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And they came for a specific reason. Those who gathered, they brought with them the sick. They brought with them the demon-possessed. No doubt these were their friends and their loved ones that were sick and demon-possessed. Having heard that Jesus had healed this demon-possessed man, these people came with great excitement. They came with great hope, believing that Jesus, he can also heal my aunt or my uncle, my cousin, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife, whatever the case was. But you can picture the scene at Peter's door. All of these people. And it was really a pitiful looking group, because many of these people had serious problems. We see that it is recorded that they had divers diseases. That is, there was a great variety of sickness. And it also says that they were possessed. Some of them were possessed with devils. Some had disease and were possessed with devils. Some perhaps just had a disease but weren't possessed with devils. Some perhaps were possessed with devils and didn't have a disease. But we see all of these people are at the door of Peter's house. And we see that Jesus healed them by a word. He simply spoke and healed. Notice in Matthew 8, verse 16. Keep in mind that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law by a word and by a touch. And we see here in Matthew 8, verse 16, and the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. But not only that, notice in Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, again, when more than one gospel writer records an event, it would be very beneficial to study all accounts, because just like anything that happens today, one person will say something and leave something out, and another person will fill that in, and you get the more complete picture. The more people you talk to, the more people you listen to, the more complete picture that you get. So it's always good to compare the gospel accounts. And we see here in Luke chapter 4 in verse 40, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases, notice it says all they that had any sick, which leads us to believe that they brought their relatives and their friends that were sick with divers diseases, they brought them unto him. And then notice what it says. And he laid hands on every one of them. He laid hands on every one of them and healed them. He healed by speaking. He healed with his touch. Again, it presents the power of his presence, the power of his word, the power of his touch. We too today can experience the power of his presence, the power of his word, the power of his touch. In each of these miracles, mankind is pictured as very, very needy. He's also pictured as very incapable of meeting those needs. And that is still true today. Man is very needy. Most do not have too much trouble admitting that mankind is needy, but most do have a problem admitting that mankind is incapable of meeting his needs. And we see this all through the Word of God. We see it specifically in the healing miracles of Christ. And we also see in these miracles not only man as a needy creature, not only man as an incapable creature, but we see Jesus is seen in his compassion. He's seen in his empathy, and he's also seen as the all-sufficient one, the proficient one. He is the hope. He is the hope for mankind. He is the hope of mankind's needs. He is not only the hope, he's the answer. That's seen all through the Gospels and the healing miracles. And that is seen all through the Word of God. He is the hope. He is the only hope. And he is the only answer. And it doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter what the need is. He's the hope. He's the answer. And he is what we need to be bringing to mankind, presenting him as their only hope, presenting him as their only answer. People may come to us throughout the week with a variety of problems, with a variety of needs, and in every case they need to be told, they need to be shown that their only hope and the only answer is Jesus Christ. That's the only way. We need to be convinced of that. I'm not real sure that many of God's people are totally convinced of that. But we need to be convinced of that, and then we need to convey that message to others. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for